You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 10th, 2020, Dateline, California, Oregon, Washington State. Numerous evacuations underway, and they will continue. Numerous fast-moving wildfires burning across those three states, threatening people, homes in the paths, and they cannot seem to get a hold on them. The brush is tender, the winds are up. There's no relief in sight. And by the way, you take a look at some of these areas where these fires are burning, and look at how many of those same areas in California, Oregon, and Washington State have been also had resources tied up trying to deal with rioting and violence. President Trump announcing his updated list of conservative candidates he would nominate to the Supreme Court if reelected. Pay attention to the names, please, at least some of them. You will know. One of them, Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron. Also, Senators Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. And from Missouri, Republican Senator Josh Hawley. All of them on a list of possible names to go to the Supreme Court if he's reelected. And there is no doubt that is going to be a critical issue over the next 4 years. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, bless her heart, she's still doing well. Obama did his best to get her to retire and step away while he was in office so he could point someone to the Supreme Court. And she basically said, take a hike, I'm not going anywhere. And she's still there. But I'm not sure she can go another 4 years. And the question is, as it was when it was Hillary against Trump, which side do you want to appoint members to the Supreme Court? Well, Joe Biden out of the basement the other day delivering a speech in Michigan, talking to auto workers, and said, make it in Michigan, make it in America, invest in our communities and the workers in places like this. Getting a good job in 2020 shouldn't be a lottery. It should be an expectation. And he slammed the practice of outsourcing. He did not mention, and you got to give him credit for here. I mean, he's cognitive enough not to get into this subject. He did not mention how his son, Hunter, has ties to a Chinese government acquisition of a Michigan company, giving jobs to China, Mexico, Europe, and South America. He did not mention that, so I guess he gets some points for that. What he did mention, he claimed that a number of military dead from coronavirus is 6,114. He's off on his numbers. The real number, 7. Attorney General William Barr is saying murders in Chicago are down 50%. And why? He said President Trump's anti-crime initiative, Operation Legend. He said that has helped us take guns and thugs off the streets in Chicago, and we have dropped that murder rate to the lowest number of murders at any time in recent times because Operation Legend is getting those folks off the street. Andrew Cuomo knows he's got a problem. Where am I going to get the money to keep the state running? And he's indicating this week that there might be tax hikes, on the wealthiest of New Yorkers. You know they're packing up to get out. If you're going to come after me with additional taxes, I'm gone. We're already seeing a report that the Manhattan rental market has been hit with a tidal wave of new inventories. New Yorkers, obviously not all the richest, but they're leaving. They're getting out of Dodge or New York City. Knoxville, Tennessee area. search underway right now. A tiger reported roaming in the wilderness outside Knoxville, Tennessee. It might have come from a nearby big cat sanctuary. They're not sure yet. But obviously, there's reason to be concerned. And then we get this story involving a McDonald's in Ohio. Customer climbing through the restaurant's drive-in window, attacking three employees because she didn't get what she wanted. I guess she grew up watching Sesame Street and the Cookie Monster. She did not get a cookie. She did not get a cookie, so she starts climbing through the window to get a cookie and beat up on three of the employees. Yep, she's behind bars now.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a heavy trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you look at what I said today, I said, don't panic. We don't want to be jumping up and down and going wild. Don't panic. I'm a cheerleader for this country, and I don't want to see panic. What I want to show is I want to show a calmness. I'm the leader of the country. I can't be jumping up and down and scaring people. I don't want to scare people. I want people not to panic.
Those are the words of President Trump on Sean Hannity's program last night. That's, of course, a response to the Bob Woodward book coming out, making claims that Trump knew COVID was going to be much, much worse than what he was letting the public know. And he was holding it back. That raises another question, which we're also going to deal with in this segment. Aside from what Bob Woodward claims about Trump had that information and was not giving us a true picture, according to Bob Woodward, what is the responsibility of Bob Woodward as a journalist, of course, best known for Watergate, and writing for the Washington Post, while also preparing his book, which he wants to make a lot of money on, of holding that information back and it not being published by the Washington Post, coming out only in the book to give it some kind of sizzle? It gets back to what I've always told you. I've often taught journalism students, and I've told them that sometimes you have to look at what you've got and how best to handle it, and you've got to occupy the time frame. You've got to occupy it. You can't just let it go vacant for 30 seconds. You've got to come up with something. So sometimes, I said, if you don't have steak, sell the sizzle. Sell the sizzle. You don't have anything good, sell the sizzle. Which is what Bob Woodward apparently was doing. His book is not going to be that big of a deal, but that one line, that's caught the attention. The book is titled Rage. I think I just gave you the biggest part of it, that he claims that President Trump was playing down the threat of COVID. Well, President Trump was taking action. Did he want him to go running around and screaming and shouting and leaning out the White House window saying, COVID is here, COVID is here, run, hide. What do they want? The actions he did take, he was criticized for. Do you remember that? Do you remember that he, in January, when he began to recognize exactly what was going on with it, they shut down flights from China? And what was the reaction from Biden, Pelosi, other Democrats? You're xenophobic. You're racist. You don't need to do that. And then later, when he recognized that a lot of the cases were also coming out of Europe, in particular Italy, those cases were showing up more in New York than in L.A. and the West Coast, he shut down a lot of those flights. And again, he was criticized. And of course, he'd been criticized since by Cuomo, New York Governor Cuomo, saying we had things go crazy in our state because Trump allowed these planes and folks to come in from Europe when he knew they should be shut down. He did shut them down. And of course, every time Cuomo gets up and starts making his remarks, I want to say, Governor, tell us what you did to contribute to 6,000 plus deaths occurring in nursing homes based on your order that they had to take COVID patients. I mentioned in the previous hour, in the opening monologue, talking about on 9/11, and of course that's tomorrow. But on that date, when that happened, President Bush was addressing, or actually reading, to some grade school kids. And an aide leaned in, whispered something to him, and at the point you could tell the president was processing what he'd just been told. He had just been told we've been hit by terrorists hitting the World Trade Center, and we might have more dangerous planes in the sky that can be aimed at other targets. And because he sat there and then continued to talk to the kids, those who hate him said he wasn't doing anything. He didn't rush. What do you want him to do? Do you want him to stand up and scare the hell out of the kids? Dr. Anthony Fauci, which the left loves to quote when it does them good. The claims that Woodward is making is that Trump was lying about the coronavirus, just wasn't really telling us everything. Dr. Fauci says, quote, I don't recall anything that was any gross distortion in things I spoke to him about. In other words, he was giving the public a general idea, but not running in panic, not jumping up and down. How do you want it to be handled? And even when the facts begin to come out, even then folks are still angry over it. Joe Biden, of course, in February 28th, this year, was talking about how he and Barack Obama handled everything. And of course, we were just beginning to see COVID unveil itself across our nation. And don't forget, we got bad, not just bad, but lies from China and the World Health Organization in alliance with them about what we were getting and how bad it was going to be. So we didn't really have a clear understanding anyway. But Trump apparently did tell Woodward, yeah, but it can be spread by air. It's going to be very dangerous. It's going to be deadly stuff. He said it's deadly stuff, and then, of course, in the public, he was comparing it to seasonal flu. More than a month later, on March 19, he told Woodward in another interview, he said, I always just wanted to play it down. I don't want to create a panic. But Biden, in February 28 of this year, in a speech in South Carolina, he didn't see Trump doing enough, and he'd already decided that he's xenophobic and racist for banning flights from China. Just listen to what Biden said.
Barack and I, when we were as president and vice president, we took on the virus that was threatening all of Africa and and the rest of the world. And we set up a mechanism that that worked. But I want to take a moment to say it's not a time to panic about coronavirus, but coronavirus is a serious public health challenge.
Well, there you have it. Because he and Obama dealt with that. That's the basis that you hear them on the left say Biden will know how to handle it. He's handled a pandemic before. Biden didn't handle anything. He didn't. And I'm not sure how capable he would be now if he can't even know the numbers. I mean, I just told you earlier that in speaking to the auto workers in Michigan, he said the number of COVID dead in our military is 6,000 plus. 6,000. The number is 7. His handlers had to get word out later. He meant to read the Michigan numbers. They both start with M, right? Michigan M, military M. You can give him a pass on it. It's not that big of a deal, except that we're continually told that he's on top of things. We're going to get into that later before this hour's out, because the Democrats have a real dilemma right now. Can they let Biden go out? And to that extent, can they let Harris go out? But again, back to this proposal by the book written by Bob Woodward, that Trump was holding back information. And of course, Joe Biden is using that well. He's using the book as well. He's attacking Trump for downplaying the threat to discourage panic. But you told Americans himself at that time, don't panic. And in fact, in that speech you just heard a clip of, talking about how he and Barack, when we were president and vice president, that's just in case you forgot that he was vice president under Obama. He did say, I want to take a moment to say it's not a time to panic about coronavirus, but it is a serious public health challenge. And he later repeated, don't panic. That was in a speech March 12, the day after the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic. March 12. Well, by January and Feb, Trump had already declared a travel ban on China and stopping flights from Europe, while the Biden camp and other leftists were saying that Trump wasn't doing enough. In an interview with Sean Hannity last night, Trump laid out exactly how the left was reacting.
If you look at the representatives of Joe Biden, you see what they were saying. They said, no problem. This won't be a problem. He didn't think it was going to be a problem until months later. He was way late. Pelosi was way, way late. And I was at the end of January, far ahead of everybody, because I did something nobody wanted me to do. Nobody wanted me to do the ban on China. And then, as you know, shortly thereafter, I did a ban on Europe. That was, frankly, even more controversial. And that was good because I saw what was going on in Italy and in Spain and in France. And we did a ban there. And if we didn't do those bans, we would have had numbers that were much, much more.
And I think everybody would agree with that. Well, I take it back. The left's not going to agree with anything that would make Trump look good. Fauci himself has admitted, if we didn't stop those flights when he did, we would have had a much higher casualty rate. That's what the experts say. It's the science of the thing, which the left always talks about. Let's go to the experts and the science, not just Trump saying, well, it'll all go away in the fall. Or it's a hope. It's a wish. But do you want to be told that it's deadly stuff, it's passed around in air and so forth? And remember in the beginning, Fauci and them were saying, well, you don't really need masks. And do you remember why you were told that? Supposedly because they were worried about they would not have enough personal protection equipment for hospital workers and those dealing with the cases. So the general public was just basically said, you don't need to do anything. And yet, despite all of that, based on the early release of Bob Woodward's book, I'm looking at a piece from CNN, says that Trump's historic dereliction of duty laid bare and says millions of lives and livelihoods depend on the character, competence, and integrity of the person in the Oval Office. But he devastatingly revealed in his own voice to Bob Woodward that he met the crisis with ineptness, dishonesty, and an epic dereliction of duty. They're talking about the interviews were taped. Trump knew they were being taped. He had agreed to sit down. He knew his voice was being taped. He gave 9 hours to Bob Woodward. Why he gave that much, I don't know, but that was his choice. And, of course, then the CNN piece says, Franklin Roosevelt told the country the truth about Pearl Harbor. Well, what else are you going to say? And then they also point out, George Bush consoled and united a people violated by a shocking act of terrorism, 9/11. Yes, but on the beginning day, did he run panicked? And then CNN points out in their column written by Steve Collinson, when Trump's time came, we know he perfectly understood the nature of the threat. And he told Bob Woodward in a phone call, this is deadly stuff, maybe much worse than the flu, but he did not level with the American people. Well, there are also those who say that Bob Woodward has blood on his hands, as does the Washington Post. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll break that part of the story down for you. Because that's the part the mainstream media will ignore. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My director, Quentin, is always doing more than needed. He's always watching out for me. He's helping us stay ahead of the curve because it's critical. We have a fast-paced program with a lot of material. And yet he also found time to get this word to me. For the East St. Louis citizens and residents and those who travel through that area, East St. Louis police reporting they seized more than 150 illegal weapons during one sweep. 150 illegal weapons. Now, by illegal, I don't mean if they were illegally purchased and are they illegally set up to do things they're not supposed to do legally, as if they've been made automatics when they should not have automatic weapons. But the bottom line is, it's a good crackdown on violence in that area, and it spreads beyond that area. Don't forget that. It's not just that area. It goes beyond that area. And who knows how many of those guns also end up in some area of North St. Louis or some other area and used in violence. Thanks for that update, Quentin. I appreciate it. Back to our subject about how the Washington Post and Bob Woodward sat on information that Trump gave him back in Feb. Woodward in his book says that Trump told him, and he's got an audio recording of it because Trump allowed him to do it, this virus is deadly stuff. And admitted it's going to be worse than the normal flu. But then he was telling the general public, we're going to handle it. It's going to be like the flu. And, of course, the left want to say, see, Trump's inept. He didn't tell us the truth. Well, why don't you turn on your own? Turn on your own like Bob Woodward and the Washington Post. He works for the Washington Post. I've got a piece here written by Joe Cunningham from Red State. That is a conservative operation, obviously. And it's titled, Bob Woodward Has Blood on His Hands. In other words, as Woodward had all this information, he didn't release it then either. He held it back. Obama, in an interview with Woodward, is recorded as saying at one point that America could absorb a terror attack like we did 9/11. And those on the right viciously attacked Obama for minimizing the attack and downplaying the threat of another terrorist attack on American soil. And Cunningham says the same folks in the media and the Democrat Party attacking Trump at that time were defending what Obama said. And what about the Washington Post? Why did it sit on it? Well, their best answer Well, the book was done independently of us. In other words, he didn't have to tell us everything that's going on in the book. But he's a journalist. He breaks news, does he not? Oh, no, 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 no. We need to hold it for the book. And if that is the most, quote, salacious, most sensational, biggest thing that's in the book, you got it. You got it. You don't need to buy the damn thing. You just found out exactly what the biggest deal is. That he's going to say that Woodward, that Trump told Woodward, to be honest with you, always wanted to play it down. It is deadly, more so than the normal flu, but I don't want to panic the public. And I just read for you, as Cunningham of Red State pointed out, Obama took a similar approach on the threat of another 9/11, and conservatives called him out for making it look like it's not that big of a deal, and you're indicating that it's nothing to worry about, and the Democrats defended Obama. No surprise there, right? So the question is, can Joe Biden actually go out and speak on a continuous basis? And if not, how about sending out Kamala Harris? There's a problem with sending her out as well. Coming up, next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. It's been a
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Military COVID infected. 118,984. Military COVID deaths. 6,114.
Yeah, that's Joe Biden speaking yesterday to United Auto Workers out of the basement, giving false information and facts as he claims they are facts. See, it's not just that they had to worry if he's on the campaign trail, if he stutters or gets lost as to where he's, what city he's in, or even what time of day it is, or just wants to wander off and start talking about how the hair on his legs would stand up in the pool when the girls would rub their hands up and down his legs, or the kids would. He just cited a false fact. Did you see mainstream media correct him? Did you see them do a fact-finding and check that out? Immediately discount it? Did they do that on the mainstream media? No, 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 no. I wasted my breath and your time with another stupid question, didn't I? I did. I apologize. Of course they didn't. So it was not 6,000 military, U.S. military, dying from COVID. It was, and every death counts. Don't get me wrong about this. But it's not 6,000. It's seven. They do have to worry about letting this guy out and how he's going to handle himself and what can he do, what can he actually do, perform effectively for us, or how will he damage us? And then the other issue is, what are you going to do about, if you don't have Biden out there, putting Kamala out? And if she gets more time and on the stage and doing all the speaking thing, does it re-emphasize that Biden is unable to do it? And Harris has her own set of baggage to deal with. We're going to break it all down for you. I want to share with you an interview that took place on Breitbart Radio. Yes, that's a conservative operation. I always let you know the source and the leaning, because I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I want you to understand and know. And the one being interviewed, Peter Schweitzer, you know him possibly, author of Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. He is also a senior contributor at Breitbart News. Again, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I want you to know who's speaking and where his leanings or his bases of belief start. But Schweitzer, in this interview, said this campaign, the Biden-Harris campaign right now, has a lot of confusion.
The problem is, I think that the Biden-Harris campaign is sort of on the horns of a dilemma, because Joe Biden has been scarce on the campaign trail. And there's all kinds of speculation why. The campaign wants to officially say it's because they're trying to abide by some kind of COVID restrictions and limit travel. I think a lot of observers believe that it has more to do with the health of Joe Biden, the fact that he's highly vulnerable to when he does do speeches. If Joe Biden's not out there on the campaign trail and Kamala Harris is, it highlights the fact that they don't have a policy about campaigning. It's just they don't want Joe Biden out on the campaign trail.
And for the very reason you heard a moment ago, Joe Biden citing the number of military deaths from COVID, 6,000 plus. The actual number being 7. Well, okay, facts got mixed up. I mean, his campaign staff said he meant to refer to the deaths in Michigan. And Michigan, in case you don't understand it, folks, I mean, they want to help you understand that Joe might have seen an M, and it was supposed to be from Michigan. Maybe he even read Michigan, and he misread it. But military also starts with an M. I guess you know that, right? So maybe that's how that happened. So let's excuse it. Let's kind of walk around it. But you know the mainstream media would not give Trump or any conservative such a pass with a number that wild and off the mark. They'd be talking about giving him they'd be giving him 2 million Pinocchio awards. But Schweitzer points out, the other issue is with this team itself. Joe was told and made very clear to him, you got to put a woman on the ticket. And then 100-plus black leaders sent a letter to him, it better be a woman of color, as in our color, not Latino, our color. And so that's how Kamala Harris is on the ticket. But Schweitzer says she's not really bringing anything of value.
She's not terribly popular. She doesn't poll well. Recall when she dropped out of the presidential primary, in her own state of California, she was polling something like 8%. So, you know, it's in a lot of respects, I think, kind of a mystifying choice in profiles in the corruption. Of course, I talk about the corruption that Kamala Harris has been involved in. But there's also sort of the likability factor, and it doesn't seem to be particularly high. So I think that's one of the reasons why she is scarce in the campaign trail. And I think, honestly, from the standpoint of the Democrats, it's a very, very poor strategy. Voters expect you to go out and earn their votes. And if you're not going to work for it, it's hard to attract people.
But the Democrats haven't had to do that in the past with the black community. They didn't have to work for it. They're in our pocket. LBJ himself had said, when they were passing the Civil Rights Act and the Voter Registration Act, he said, I'm locking up the black vote for Democrats for 200 years. I'm going to spend more time on LBJ and some of that those remarks at some point. It's just been so many things are coming at us. I feel like I'm standing on a railroad track and trains are coming from every direction. I've never seen something this big of a collision. I've been to a couple of goat ropings and some other things, but this is going to be pretty big if I stand here. But I'm trying to get as much out for you as I can. And the time is racing toward November. And Democrats, Schweitzer's nailed it. They're Democrats. They're just not happy with this. You know, one of the Hollywood elite speaking out, Susan Sarandon, she's under fire. She says in a tweet she put out, I take it back, she's tweeting a remark from a guy she's supporting who's a political activist and podcaster who is a vocal critic of Biden. He criticizes Biden's presidential campaign and the Democrat Party. And so she voiced support for him. Remember Susan Sarandon from Thelma and Louise and other movies? He had put out, I regret my vote for Hillary Clinton, but I will not regret my vote for Joe Biden because I'm not voting him. I will never vote for a corporatist again. And Susan Sarandon said, I agree. So she quickly endorsed him, and immediately, she got attacked by the leftists of the mob. One of them said, your privilege is showing. See, even if you're on the left and you're inside the circle with a mob, if you dare put a toe over the line, they will call you out. You got Bill de Blasio in New York, and he's fighting. And here's a question. Can Trump carry New York? Because even inside New York City, the Democrats are having their battle over Bill de Blasio. One Democrat congressman says de Blasio's the worst mayor we've ever had. So Schweitzer again is saying the problem with Harris is she's just too liberal.
Joe Biden has positioned himself, and for most of his career, his posture has been one of a more centrist Democrat. You know, he was not a George McGovern Democrat. He was not a Jimmy Carter Democrat. He was more a Bill Clinton-like Democrat. Well, along comes Kamala Harris, who, you know, as Breitbart has reported on, you know, has a voting record to the left of Bernie Sanders. And it, particularly when it comes to the issues that are front and center right now, you know, particularly race relations and the police issues like reparations. She is very, very outspoken and vocal in a way that is probably not helpful from the standpoint of the Biden campaign, appealing to suburban voters.
And which they're still trying to do as well. And the other thing to keep in mind regarding the Biden campaign, I've told you, Harris did not sign on to be vice president. Again, the words from Breitbart senior contributor Peter Schweitzer.
Remember, Joe Biden himself is the one that said he wasn't sure if he was going to serve more than one term. So, yes, there was a lot of anticipation that this was kind of like the debutante's ball, as it were, for a future president of the United States, that Joe Biden was going to come in. He was only going to serve one term because of his age, and that his vice presidential pick was going to, you know, be president, you know, fairly soon.
That's exactly what I've been telling you. She's there because when he stumbles or gets pushed, she's there. She has her own game plan. It does not correspond to what Biden's plan is, I will guarantee you. You remember the salon hairdo mess-up involving Pelosi? There's another development in this story coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
Members and staff will be required to wear masks at all times.
This is a mask from all over the country. I'm getting these masks.
Real men wear masks, and these masks are essentially important.
The chair views the failure to wear a mask as a serious breach of decorum.
I have no advice for them, except when they come here, they have to wear a mask.
I totally agree with Joe Biden. As long as we're faced with this crisis, a mask should be mandatory.
How many different ways did you hear Nancy Pelosi say a mask is necessary, essential, you must do it, you have to keep it on, especially if you're in public and you're with other people? And then came that video from that salon in San Fran where she went to get her hair done. When all the salons in that part of California are still ordered to be closed, They could do business starting the first of this month outside, but not inside. And they couldn't do coloring outside. It had to be done inside because they didn't want chemicals spreading into the air. Well, Nancy got an appointment. Nancy's stylist, her stylist, he's a guy, he set it all up. And, of course, he has a chair in the salon and told the owner that Nancy Pelosi's coming in tomorrow and showed her the text. Well, the owner kind of got upset thinking, why is she getting to do this? I'm a mother of two. I cannot get this open. A single mom of two. And I can't even open for business, but she can come in here. And then on the security camera that's always there shows Nancy walking through without a mask on. Her stylist behind her is wearing a mask, and another person is wearing a mask, but not Nancy, despite all you just heard. Well, immediately when that story broke, the first initial reaction hit the salon and the owner, Erica Kaust.
I started to just get a ton of phone calls, text messages, emails, all my Yelp reviews, just all this, you know, saying that they hope I go under and that I fail. So just a lot of negativity towards my business.
That's not good for any business, is it? Well, of course, the whole thing wasn't good for Nancy either. When she was first approached by reporters as the story broke, she ran away from them. I'm too busy, too busy. But then when she had things together in her head, I don't know how often that is, but she came up with deciding, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to take responsibility, not...
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times, and that when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup.
I take responsibility because I got swindled. That could be a good for guys who get busted on a prostitution charge that you're with the lady. I take responsibility because I got set up by this woman. She offered me something I wanted, and I thought I could have it. I didn't know. It was not so funny for the salon owner. And she's shutting down, and she's moving out of San Fran. She was again last night on Sean Hannity's program and saying, or Tucker Carlson, rather, and saying she's getting threats.
I'm actually afraid to go back just because of the messages and emails I've been getting. So, yeah, it's a little scary and sad. I do have a lot of positive calls and text messages from, you know, clients, but other than that, nothing but negativity.
You're afraid to physically go back to the city of San Francisco?
I am right now, yes.
And that's not a laughing matter, is it? Because we know how these anarchists and Antifa groups are and how violent they can be. If they're going to torch and attack a federal courthouse, if they think you've damaged somebody that they want to try to keep in power, like a Nancy Pelosi, do you not think they will come after you personally? There had been an effort to raise money for the owner. A former Nevada State GOP chairwoman actually got it started, a fundraiser trying to raise at least $300,000 for the owner of the salon. Because she was having, at that time, just a loss of business, even before the threats, and decided to shut down entirely. Well, last check, they had more than $310,000 donated in a GoFundMe program. So she'll be able to take care of her family and open up elsewhere. Maybe not in California at all. Certainly not in that part of California. Because you cross Nancy Pelosi, like any good witch or bad witch, she will put a hex on you. Boiling trouble, lotions, potions. Good luck with that. As always, I appreciate you joining us. We've got another program tomorrow for you. I've already got a lot of items in place. A lot of stuff I had to throw out today. I always appreciate your listening. Spread the word. Your word about this program is better than anything else, and I do appreciate it. So, for tomorrow, take a look at your calendar. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.